Yeah, we've all, I think, had those. One time, a pastor after church one Sunday, he was walking around, he was greeting people and saying hi and visiting, and a lady approached him and said, "Pastor, that was a very good sermon. That's one of the best I've ever heard." And trying to be humble, he responded, and he said, "Oh, that was just all the Lord. I just have to give credit to the Holy Spirit." At which point the woman looked at him and said, "Well, it wasn't that good." Yeah, we're in a series about pride and humility called Up Is Down, and we're talking about the primary verse is from Jesus. He's talking here in Matthew 23, and he says, "Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Jesus is describing here a universal principle of how the kingdom of God works. Because humility is the path to promotion with God. It's not skill. It's not knowledge. It's not good behavior. But it is dependence upon God. Humility is the path to promotion. Pride is when we think we know better than God. Pride's when we think we know better. And so we choose to be independent from Him. We do our own thing. And the result of that is that it often causes us to draw attention to ourselves instead of Him. Now, we know and we understand we are created in His image, in His likeness. Correct? We're created in His image, His likeness. What that means then is people, we actually are meant to draw attention to Him in us. So, we're made in His image, in His likeness. People notice us, and then we give the attention to Him. So that's how it's meant to look. But pride makes the attention just stop at us. So we're created in His image. We're meant to draw attention to Him through us, not to ourselves. Now, we operate in pride primarily in two ways. We puff ourselves up, right? Look how good I am. That one's always really obvious to us, isn't it? You've probably interacted with somebody like that. They can be difficult to interact with and to know. Look at me, look how good I am. The second way, which is a little more subtle and harder to identify, is self-pity. Look how bad I have it. Look how bad I have it. It's a form of pride that draws attention to you. Look how bad things are for me. It's funny, it's a funny scale. It's like my life's worse than other people's. And you may have difficulty and hardship, but life is difficult and hard for many people. Everyone experiences those things. It's when we make that come to us and not ultimately then to God in terms of saying, but in it I trust Him. In it He is working good in me and through me. To be humble then is to actively and purposely depend on God. Depend upon the truth of His word, the leading of His spirit. It's a choice, a lifestyle that we're to dedicate ourselves to. That anything we are, anything that we do, anything that we accomplish in this life is credited to Him, is credited to Him and to His work in our lives. Now, our attitude about pride and humility is very often revealed in our relationships with one another. This is where it is primarily revealed in our relationships with one another. If you're humble before God, then humility with one another becomes a natural expression and outflow of that relationship. Pride and humility is revealed in our relationships, our earthly relationships. Philippians 2, verses 1 and 3 says this: "Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from His love, any fellowship in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves." You may have interacted with or had relationship with someone who seems to enjoy correcting over-encouraging. Do you know anybody like that? They enjoy correcting, over-encouraging. You maybe have had relationship with people that they can only really accept somebody and demonstrate love towards them if they can agree with them. Historically, Christians have earned that reputation. We like to correct, over encourage. We are, can only have relationship with people that we feel believe the same as us. Those kind of people are difficult to be in a good relationship with. And I think for us, for faith, it's not like we've meant to do that. We think we're doing the right thing. We think we're helping. We think we're honoring God. But the fact is that we've often earned that reputation because we practice something different than we preach. So it asks us here this question. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? It asks you the question, any comfort from his love, fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Everyone here has likely prayed at some point, God, help me to love people more. You ever prayed that? Sure, of course, we've all prayed it, right? Lord, help me to love people like you do. And then we would find ourselves, after praying that and sincerely meaning it, we would find ourselves in difficult situations and circumstances where we find ourselves not doing just that. And sometimes it's out of selfishness. Sometimes it's because it isn't convenient for us to love people the way God does. Sometimes we just simply don't want to. That's the truth. Sometimes we know to love other people like God means it's going to cost us more than maybe we're willing to pay. Have you ever prayed, God, I'll go wherever you send me, except... Sometimes it reaches a price that we're not willing to pay. Many times it's based in fear of how other people will perceive us. Because God will ask you to love the unlovely, the unlovable. There, that's easier. God will ask you to love people that don't maybe fit with you. And we can think, well, what will other people think about me? Fear. They might think less of me. And the solution to all this isn't trying harder with one another, but it's found actually in redefining our relationships. That we think of others as better than ourselves. We think of others as better than ourselves. So how do you do that? I mean, how do you think of someone as better than you when you don't agree with them or their behavior? That's pretty challenging, isn't it? If someone's been rude to you, if someone's hurt you, if someone's betrayed you, or maybe it's just that you don't understand their view, their way of thinking. And the temptation when it's like that is to treat them as, to treat that person, to treat that individual as less than you. It's a worldly way of thinking. It's a worldly approach. What happens then is encouraging them, loving them, being tender and compassionate towards them becomes very difficult because somewhere in here you think that they don't really deserve it. It's an attitude that we carry, or we can carry in our heart, in our mind. And when we carry that attitude, it will make its way out into our relationships, including right here. So how do you do this? How do you think of someone as better than yourself? The scripture we just read here says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any encouragement? We belong. If you belong to Jesus, correct? Do you belong to Jesus? Does it feel too early for you to be in church? Right? You belong to Jesus, right? You belong to him. We're his. He paid for us. We belong to him. We're his possession. He loves us. He traded his life for ours. We belong to him. So that person that you disagree with, that person that you can't understand their view, or that person who's hurt you or betrayed you, if they're a believer, they also belong to him. And the fact is that when we feel hurt or betrayed, or when we can't understand where they're coming from, what do we often do? We probably would very rarely verbalize it, but inside we're wondering, do they even really know Jesus? But the fact of the matter is that they belong to him just as much as you do. They belong to him just as much as you. This is one of the keys in viewing other people as better than you, to understand that they belong to him just as much as you. This goes for those that know Jesus. This goes for spouses, goes for kids, bosses, employees, people you go to school with. They belong to him just as much as you. And so you might think, okay, all right. Yes, all right, they belong to him, but I'm right and they're wrong. Right? You might think that. The next question, is there any comfort from his love? We belong to him because he loves us, not because we're right. We belong to him because he loves us. That's it. There's no and, there's no but. You belong to him because he loves you. And that's it. We belong to him because he loves us, not because we're right. We are made right in his love. We're not loved because we're right. And that goes for every one of us who belong to Jesus. So if you can't agree with somebody, if you can't accept their way of thinking or what they've done, then accept the truth that they are just as loved as you. Which can be pretty difficult when they've inflicted hurt or pain to you. But they are just as loved as you are. And the fact is that if someone else is struggling with something, if they're having a difficulty in their life, and that struggle, that difficulty is affecting their relationships, and they're doing things that hurt and damage other people, that's most often because they don't know how loved and accepted they are. When you experience how much Jesus loves you, when you finally know how deep, how strong, how good it is, Jesus' love for you, then the only decision that makes sense is to abandon your selfishness, is to abandon your pride in pursuit of him. The fact is every single one of us in this room need a fresh encounter with the life-changing love of Jesus. A fresh encounter. Probably most of us in this room have had those moments in your life, in your faith, where he's revealed himself to you and you've known his love, and it's wonderful and life-giving and freeing, and it is changing. But then, you know, you get up from there and you go about life and you find yourself weeks or years removed from it. And there's still an effect, but you think, I need something new, something fresh from God. An encounter. I need to know how loved I am. Each and every one of us can use a fresh encounter with this life-changing love of Jesus. See, that's something that we can wholeheartedly agree on. It's something that we can encourage one another into, that we can work with one mind and one purpose toward. That every single one of us has a greater understanding and experience of the life-changing love of Jesus. If you're here today and you've trusted Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, if you've trusted Jesus with your brokenness, if you've trusted him to make you right with God, and then heaven is your reward because of that, then we also understand that Jesus then comes to live in us through the Holy Spirit. Right? He resides in us, he lives in us when we make that commitment. If you're here this morning and you've never done that, we encourage you right now. You can just make that commitment. You can surrender, you can say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to commit my life to follow you, to trust you for the forgiveness of my sin, to make me right with the Father. And when we have done that, Jesus comes to live in us. We belong to him. We are loved by him. So then let me ask you this. If we belong to him, and we're loved by him, and when we come to him and commit our lives to him, and he comes to live in us, when we mistreat one another, when we treat another individual as less of a person than we are because we don't understand them, we don't agree with them, or they've done something to hurt us or wound us, do you think that it affects Jesus inside them? Huh. Of course it does. When you speak to one another, do you think Jesus hears it? Husbands, when you get angry with your wives, Jesus hears it. He doesn't just hear it because he's there. He hears it because he's in them. When we mistreat one another, we're mistreating him. When we gossip about one another, guess who's there in the conversation? As you tell that individual, it's not them, it's Jesus. How do you view other people as better than you? You speak to Jesus in them. You treat them as though Jesus is in them, because he is. Well, if it's Jesus in them, then it's pretty easy. It's pretty simple, isn't it, to treat them as better than you? Because we all know Jesus is better than us. Not just in the sense that he was sinless, but in the sense that he is love. He is mercy and forgiveness. He is right or righteousness. You see, if you insult somebody, if you reject them or get angry at them, if you think it's your place to correct other people, then understand that the person you're really talking to in them is Jesus. Instead, we should encourage one another and love one another. So often, our selfish pride gets in the way, that we then begin to justify mistreating each other. You see, it doesn't matter what their earthly relationship is to you. It doesn't matter if they're your husband or your wife. It doesn't matter if they're your child, you know, your siblings. It doesn't matter if they're your parents, your jerk boss. I'm talking to my staff. Kidding. Doesn't matter, right? If they're your coworkers or just an acquaintance. If they're people that know the Lord, when you talk to them, when however you treat them is indicative of how you're treating Jesus. Now, just consider the other side of that as well for a moment. If you talk to me as though I was Jesus and I talk to you as though you were Jesus, how different would that look? How easy would it be for me to consider you more important? How careful would you be with your words to me if you knew that you were talking to Jesus and not me? How much easier would it be to encourage and serve one another, to love and respect one another, if we live with the mindset that as we treat one another, so we're treating Jesus who lives in them? And it's funny because this is where sometimes religious attitudes get revealed in us. Remember, how we interact with one another reveals our attitudes towards pride and humility. Because if it were Jesus, right, would we not... Remember Martha and Mary, right? One starts scrambling, doing things for him, trying to impress him. If it were Jesus, right, we'd be like, oh, I'm on my best behavior because I want to impress him. And I think Jesus would say, so it's okay for me, but not that person who I gave my life for and who I love and I live in. It's amazing how these things get revealed in us. I'm just so you know, I'm preaching to me right there. Because Jesus walked in, I'd be like, excuse me, everybody. I want to talk to him. When someone new walks into our church, we've talked about this before, you know, when somebody new comes, and we've gone to multiple services to make room for more. When somebody new comes in, we should treat them as though they were Jesus. We should treat them like we would treat him. The fact is, within this room, I know some of you are unfriendly with new people. You're like, well, but I don't like meeting new people. If it were Jesus, right, would be like, sorry, I don't like meeting new people, Jesus. This is how you consider others better than yourselves. And honestly, pride can creep in. You think, but I've been a part of this church for 30 years or 40 years or whatever. I'm more important than they are. Really? It's subtle, but it happens in churches. I'll be honest, because we've changed some stuff, right? We just the chairs alone, some of you were like, oh my gosh. You go back out to the road and you're making sure, am I at the right church? I don't. Honestly, you handled it really well. I was really impressed. Things that settle in us, that keep us in prideful places. When somebody new walks in, we should treat them like Jesus. Some of you don't like meeting new people. Some of you are just preoccupied with your own stuff. But so what happens then is somebody new comes in and maybe nobody talks to them. If Jesus walked in, would you talk to him? Some of you are like, I don't know, I'd be a little scared. If that thought makes you fearful, it's because there's an area of love that you need to experience with him. Because perfect love drives out fear, right? If you see Jesus, I mean, you should be running towards him because he'd be running towards you. So maybe nobody talks to them. Maybe nobody asks them to sit with them or invites them in for coffee. Nobody tries to actually get to know them. But if it were actually Jesus, what would you do? How would you treat him? I mean, wouldn't he be an honored guest? You'd be like, please, sit with me. I mean, I hope Jesus would attend here. I'll be honest, I've been in some churches, I'm not sure. See, this is how God wants us to treat one another. Treating one another as we would treat him. That will bring us to this place of one heart, of one mind, of one purpose, despite our differences, despite our weaknesses, despite our brokenness. It'll bring us to that place. I'm going to end by telling you a story. It's a personal story. It's not one I'm proud of. I didn't grow up a Christian. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. When I was about 15 or 16, I was at a party. And I messed around with another guy's girlfriend. I knew she was his girlfriend. I didn't care. I was selfish. And their relationship broke down and they had trouble. Right, it wasn't good for me and him. And about 5 years later, when I'd become a Christian, and so had he, one Sunday he showed up to the church that I was attending. His name's Mike. And after church, some of us were standing around, and this is like 5 years later, and I'm in Jesus, but I was feeling a little timid with Mike. And Mike came up to me, and he said, "I want you to know something. All that stuff that happened with that girl, it's all gone. It's all forgotten. It's just dead. It's forgiven." And in that moment, it was like Mike breathed life into my soul. Mike was being like Jesus to me. He was treating me like Jesus would treat me. Didn't judge me. Didn't tell me everything I did wrong. He just said, "It's forgiven." In that moment, I felt this change inside me. It was though a weight was lifting off me. I wasn't even fully aware that weight was there until I saw Mike. And it just lifted off me as he spoke the words, because I was experiencing the love and the forgiveness of Jesus. Mike was treating me the way Jesus would treat me. It was a beautiful, life-changing moment that I remember almost 30 years later. This is what we're meant to do and to be for one another. This is what God calls us to. So, want to simplify this morning. There's just two things to remember. Talk to, so it's simple. Yeah, anyway. Talk to and treat one another the way that we would talk to and treat Jesus. Talk to and treat one another the way that you would talk to and treat Jesus. So I say it's simple, but I mean, come on. That's more of a challenge than, but it's simple to remember, right? Talk to and treat one another the way that you would treat Jesus. And here's the second part. Talk about one another the way that you would talk about Jesus. Talk about each other the way you would talk about Jesus. Talk about your spouse the way that you would talk about Jesus. Talk about your kids that way. Why? Because when you do that, you'll speak words of encouragement. Naturally, you'll speak words of comfort. I mean, in love, they'll just come out of you. Make sense? And that's how you live in this place where you consider others better than yourselves, because it isn't a competition with the Lord. It's not. We're all loved more than we can understand, more than we can fathom, but we can experience it more and more. So what we're going to do is we're going to respond with some worship this morning. The word, one of the meanings of the word worship is to kiss on the face. It's a very intimate, beautiful word. It implies this moment with the Lord. As we do this, as we worship, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Take whatever pride that you have and hand it over to Him. Take whatever hurt, wounding, disappointment that you might have. Take any attitudes that you have where you have recognized that, yeah, I think I'm better than that person. And give it over to him and say, Lord, what I really need is to encounter and experience you and your love new and fresh today. Just give him your pride, your selfishness, and tell him that you just want to love him. And he'll love you back because he already does. All right, I'm going to invite the worship team to come. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for how much you love us. Lord, we come right now to worship, to be face to face with you. Jesus, we love you. Just where you are, even begin just to tell him that you love him. You can say it out loud or you can just say it inside, but begin to tell him that you love him. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I desire to know you, to be like you, to treat other people as I would treat you, Lord. Guard my heart, my mind. Jesus, may my heart and my mind just be focused on loving you and you alone. And from there, God, that we love each other. Thank you. Change us. Make us like you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We invite you to stand.